It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. For over 30 years, producers of a new Frontline documentary followed two Milwaukee families who lost good-paying manufacturing jobs in the 1990s.
Over the decades, the Stanleys and the Newmans work hard but struggle to maintain stability. The documentary shows the effects of low-wage jobs on relationships, retirement, and the futures of the children in both families.
It's called Two American Families, 1991 to 2024. It's the fifth installment of the series narrated by Bill Moyers. You can watch online at pbswisconsin.org. Tom Cachato and Kathleen Hughes are the producers and directors of Two American Families. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Kathy, thanks a lot for being with us.
Glad to be here.
Before we meet the two families that are the subject of this amazing, long-running documentary project, Kathy, can you set the scene for us a little bit? The economics, factories closing in Milwaukee, what led us into this story?
Yeah, well, factories were closing in Milwaukee. They were closing throughout the region that we now call the Rust Belt. And it was about 1990, and hundreds of thousands of people had already lost their jobs. And there was a lot of conversation about what was to come next for these folks. There was conversation about maybe people will work part-time and get more civically involved. Like, there was all kinds of speculation, and we got the assignment to figure that out.
Kathy set me up with a union representative who was representing Briggs & Stratton laid-off workers who were trying to get new jobs, trying to retrain, mostly at sea. I talked to about 80 laid-off Briggs & Stratton workers in groups of approximately 20, and I just sat up in front of the room, and I asked a question that the first producer of documentaries I ever worked for used to ask, and I learned it from him. If you were going to watch TV tonight, and you knew your life was going to be the subject of a PBS documentary, what would you want to see expressed? What story would you want to tell? What myths would you want to be dispelled? And that's a great question to get people talking. They really start to tell their own stories. And a couple of people just really stood out as compelling. One of them was Tony Newman, and one of them was Jackie Stanley. That's the dad in one of the families and the mom in one of the other families.
Kathy, can you introduce us to the two Milwaukee families at the center of the documentary, the Stanleys and the Newmans?
In the Stanley family, Jackie Stanley had been working on the line at Briggs and had been recently laid off when we met her. Her husband, Claude, about a year or two before that, had been at another big Milwaukee manufacturer, A.O. Smith. So they lived in Sherman. They still live in Sherman Park. But back then, a lot of people who lived in Sherman Park were able to support middle-class families with these kinds of jobs. They had relatively high wages. They had benefits. They had pensions. And suddenly that had all gone away. So for Jackie, at least, she decided she was going to work in real estate. I could go on and on about the Stanleys, but Tony Newman had also worked at Briggs. And he and his wife, Terry Newman, at that time, had three little kids. Tony had gotten the job in the late 80s. They thought it was a secure job. They bought a house. Terry had hoped to stay home and be a full-time mom to these little kids. And when we first met them, they were struggling. Tony had been laid off about a year before that, and they were really struggling to hold on to their house. So that's where we meet them in 1991.
Tom, over the last couple of decades, a story I kept hearing again and again was, you know, somebody who had that good-paying factory job, $18-$20 an hour, which was a lot, especially at the outset of this, then going to that service sector job where they're making $6-$8 an hour. These documentaries really put a face on that. Can you talk a little bit about how that impacted just the life of these two families for the next 30 years after you started?
I think there was an implicit promise, never written down, never stated, but that they would have a foothold in a good, decent American middle-class life. And all I really mean by that is being able to put food on the table, have a decent car to drive to get to work, work real hard, put your kids through school, and not have to go to bed every night wondering, how are we going to make it? How are we going to make it? For the Newmans and the Stanleys, the parents in each family who have spent the last 34 years after we met them living in that service economy, they're kind of a lost generation as far as the American dream goes. We don't know what's going to happen to their kids. We can't write the future, and a lot of the kids are doing very well. But for them, they never really had the opportunity to make it, if you will. That doesn't mean they didn't in some ways make it. You know, if you look at the YouTube comments on this film, everyone is taken with how strong these families are, how hardworking they are. And of course, that's a real Milwaukee thing and Wisconsin thing, to be very hardworking people. I think about Jackie Stanley. She was laid off. She decided to go into real estate, where she was basically going to be working for herself or working for an agency, living off commissions. Talk about somebody who pulled herself up by her bootstraps. Talk about somebody who was never looking for a handout, even as her income was severely downgraded when she lost her jobs at Briggs & Stratton. She worked and has worked and continues to work so hard as a real estate agent, and she's good at it. Kathy and I have been able to observe her over the years. She's got the smarts. She's got the skills. One thing she doesn't have is that she's not white, and racism plays a part in this story. Jackie has always only been able to sell in communities where the homes are worth less. And as such, of course, her commissions are less.
I want to stay with the theme of hard work and give a listen to one of the Stanley's kids, Keith. He's a kid when we first meet him in the earliest part of the documentaries. Grown up now as a young kid, he starts a lawn care business to help the family get by. Eventually goes to college, starts working at City Hall, now a nonprofit leader in another state. Here's some of what he had to say about hard work and sacrifice.
I would say the key word that I think that's not spoken enough of is sacrifice in this country. We can point to a lot of indicators of how great the economy is. Our productivity over the past 40, 50 years in this country has skyrocketed, but there's a sacrifice to that. The sacrifice of not being home to see your kids go to school. The sacrifice of always putting work before everything else. I still believe in hard work. But I will say that I think we are fooling ourselves if we believe that it's only hard work.
Now, Kathy, I want to follow up on this theme, because very clearly these are people who want to work, both of these families, but circumstances really beyond their control have put them in this situation, which I think is what we heard Keith getting at there. Can you talk about that theme?
Hard work is the theme. And it's not only that they want to work, they do. Mm-hmm. Throughout the last 34 years, everyone has been working hard. That's just a given. And that's what I think amazes us every time we think about these folks and their lives, is that they're not sitting around saying, oh, give me a handout. Oh, you know, they're hoping and persevering and hoping things get better over time. And I think part of what is a little bit upsetting is that the struggles continue. The parents are now reaching retirement age and things are tight all around, and they are far from the only Americans who might not have enough tucked away for retirement as they reach retirement age.
Could I add something to what Kathy
said
about
sure.
Keith? I remember the moment interviewing Keith when he said what he said in the quote that you just played about hard work. And this light just went off in my head, and it was like, wow, that is a lot of what this film is about. One of the pleasures of the film, I dare say, in watching it, is watching kids grow up. You meet Keith at the beginning of the film. He's about 15. Now he's in his 40s. And Keith is someone who recognizes that the success he has had in life could lead someone to believe that, gee, if you just work hard, everything is going to work out for you. And who cares about these external forces? And things have worked out in a good way for Keith, but he is so aware of everyone else around him in his community, but also in his country. And he knows that hard work isn't the only thing that allows you to make it.
We're talking about a new Frontline documentary featuring two Milwaukee families covering their lives in difficult economic circumstances over 30 years. Tom Cachato, Kathleen Hughes are with us, producers and directors of Two American Families. You can watch it right now at the PBS Wisconsin website. Let's look at the impact on the neighborhood now, because this isn't just these two families experiencing this. It's hitting everybody at once. So housing costs are going down. Everybody's competing for those same service sector jobs now. Tom, can you talk a little bit about what these families are watching as these factory closures affect not just them, but their neighbors too?
As far as what the families are witnessing right now, they're living through what most of America has been living through, which is wages are going up, but inflation has been very bad. Now, just recently, inflation appears to be ticking down, so we'll see what happens. But they've been in a situation, certainly in the Newman family, where they're making more money, but they also are not really getting ahead because it costs so much more money to live. In the case of the Stanleys, they've entered their 70s. They are in a state of, I would call it, semi-retirement. Claude retired from his job with the city of Milwaukee with a pension. Jackie is still doing real estate. Claude is still helping her out with that. They are not in a position to say, oh, wages are rising. That's a good thing, even though it doesn't keep up with inflation, because they don't get wages. They are in their 70s still working to keep going. I think that everybody who watches the film will witness people who've been through what America has been through. The American, call it the working class, at least.
The city of Milwaukee also changes through the documentary. Poverty increases, and so does violence. The Stanleys live in a neighborhood where they feel safe, but then eventually have gang members trying to recruit their kids. A son of the Newmans has a harrowing experience with neighborhood youth targeting him. I want to give a listen to the mom, Terry Newman.
People are getting angry. They're getting frustrated, they're getting violent, because they don't see no way out. There are so many people that are struggling the same way with the cost of everything and not getting enough on your paycheck to cover your monthly expenses. It's like, we haven't come very far.
Kathy, Terry, they're making a direct line from the difficult economic circumstances in the communities that both families live in, and crime and violence. Can you flesh that out a little bit?
Well, she says it very well, and it's really what they have been observing. Her older son decides to have a handgun in order to protect himself. He just feels like that's what he needs now in order to feel safer. So it's, again, it's not just Milwaukee. I think this is becoming a problem in a lot of communities.
You know, when we first visited shooting in 1991, we filmed at the Newman's church, and you'll see them in church over the years in the film, and you'll see their priest, Father Mike, over the years in the film. When I went back to Milwaukee to film in the 2012 installment of the film, there was a sign entering the church, absolutely no firearms allowed. Great sign. I think you do want no firearms in a church. But the fact is, in 1991, they didn't have to put that sign up. It wasn't an issue. By the time you get to 2012 and certainly to the present, there's just a lot more arms out there. And again, this is not solely about Milwaukee. This is about America in general. This is just one more thing that people have to deal with.
And the guns are complicated. Some of it are gun laws have changed as well. But to your point, it's very different.
I want to give a listen to another moment in the documentary here. We're, of course, in a presidential election year in 2024. This film spans six presidential administrations, and you have a montage at one point of incoming presidents promising new jobs in a prosperous middle class and solving a lot of the problems, or hoping to solve a lot of the problems these families are dealing with. I want to give a listen now to the Stanleys watching Bill Clinton's inauguration in 1993.
This president, I think I can trust and relate to some.
Four more years, but you need to grow up a little bit.
Today we celebrate the mystery of American renewal.
Yeah, I've been there with Reagan, Bush, and now Clinton. I'm not saying I don't trust presidents. It's that you say a lot of stuff to get on top. Even if I was running for something, I'd be like, everybody get free candy and everything, you know. So you say a lot of stuff to get on top.
Kathy, there's been a lot of ink spilled, or digital ink spilled, about Rust Belt voters who may be in situations just like the Stanleys and Newmans, lost jobs, the factories have gone away, and what do they do with politics? How did you hear both families talking about big politics, big political issues over the years?
Well, I'll tell you, we consciously decided not to bring any retail politics into these conversations. We felt like it could bias people. It would change the nature of what it is we're looking at. So to some extent, as you'll see, we don't really ask anybody who they're voting for. That said, I feel like people are watching and listening, and but they also are very, very busy, and day in and day out, they're not necessarily paying attention to what's happening the way news junkies like we are.
You see six different presidents in the film: Bush, Clinton, the second Bush, Obama, Trump, Biden. And to me, the presidents in this film operate the way that the voices of adults operate in the Peanuts cartoon strip. If anybody out there is familiar with Peanuts, kids are talking to each other. Charlie Brown's talking, Lucy's talking, Snoopy's thinking to himself. And anytime an adult speaks, that you don't hear what they say, you just see these little lines in the speech bubble. It's like blah, 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 blah. And I think that that is kind of how Washington talk operates in the lives of these families. They hear it, there's hope, there's less hope, they go back and forth, but really what's happening in Washington isn't really affecting their lives.
Right. What's affecting their lives in so many ways are things like healthcare costs. We talked about inflation a couple minutes ago, and that's a big problem in the present. But over the decades, there's been a lot of other things that have become much more expensive, like housing, like healthcare, like education. Those are the kind of things that we wanted to make sure people understood. We wanted people to understand that things are changing on those fronts.
And as we wrap up, Tom, can you talk about the value of coming back again and again, not just leaving at that first documentary, but seeing how this family has grown, has changed over the decades?
When Kathy and I first knew each other, we went to see Michael Apted's film 28 Up, part of the 7 Up series, which I'm sure folks are familiar with, where he interviewed 7-year-olds in Britain and went back when they were 14, when they were 21, when they were 28, 35, et cetera, and made an incredible documentary series. And we thought, gee, we'd like to do something like that someday, never suspecting that we would have a story like this that went on over the years. I think there's a lot of power in that, and that any documentary filmmaker who's made a film that they like with compelling people who the audience likes would love to have the opportunity to go back. And we've just been fortunate to be able to do so. And I think it really allows you to look at Jackie and Claude Stanley and Tony and Terry Newman as look at them generationally, not just at a moment in time, but to say, what has happened to these folks who grew up with an idea of what the American dream was and have now spent decades living in the absence of that dream? I think it just tells you a lot more about the country than we could ever tell in making an individual film.
We'll leave it there. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
And Kathy, thanks for sharing your work with us.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Tom Cachado and Kathleen Hughes are producers and directors of Two American Families. That's a new Frontline documentary that took place over 30 years following two Milwaukee families who struggled to stay out of poverty. You can watch it online. It's at pbswisconsin.org.